Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith.
On Friday, and we will have a memorial service for him here Thursday at 7. And so we would encourage any who can be present for that memorial service to do so. We definitely are saddened by his passing. It was very sudden. And we hope for the best for him, that all is well, and that he is with our Father. This morning, the text that was read from Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through 10, deals with the subject of being deceived. And that is indeed the title of this lesson, Be Not Deceived. God is not mocked, is one of the key phrases in this verse. God is not mocked. Now, there are lots of scientists out there who mock God or try to. They criticize, they ridicule those who believe in God. They make light of the Christian faith. They renounce and reject the Bible as being the Word of God because they renounce and reject God. They try to espouse the idea of evolution because they will not accept the possibility of intelligent design, that the earth was created. Because if that's the case, then there is order and there are rules. Hello. And we have obligations to this Creator. And they don't want to admit that. So they have allowed themselves to be deceived. And in their effort and their attempt to mock God, they're going to find one day that God is not mocked. God is not mocked. There are lots of people who go to church every Sunday who have the appearance of being Christian. And yet when they live in the world outside of the church building, you couldn't pick them out of a lineup of Christian versus non-Christian. You couldn't tell. God is not mocked. If we are not serious about being children of God, we're going to pay a price. God is not mocked. And so over and over again in Scripture, we are cautioned, we are warned, we are admonished, be not deceived. Be not deceived. In 1 Timothy 4:12, Eve is described as having been deceived. She was deceived by Satan. She was fooled. There are flim-flam men everywhere. Now, some of you young folks don't know what a flim-flam man is. These older ones do. There used to be a group of people, they were kind of gypsies, and I can't remember their name, it's a Scottish name, but they were a family that lived in mostly out of Florida, but they would travel across this country paving parking lots with oil. They had a little bit of tar, a little bit of oil, just a cheap mixture, and they would convince folks, your parking lot needs to be resurfaced. It needs to be sealed. And they would seal the parking lot, charge what would be a reasonable price, what would appear to be a reasonable price. And all they did basically was paint the parking lot. That's really what it boils down to. They would paint the parking lot, take their money and go, and they'd be gone. And then when you had troubles, well, too bad. Con artists, flim-flam, deceiving people. Do you know one of the things that teenagers do, mamas and daddies? You may not have figured this out yet, but I kind of think you have figured it out. One of the techniques that teenagers do is they practice the art of deception. They will try to make you believe that they are somewhere when they are somewhere else. Oh, teenagers, don't get mad at me because I'm giving away your secrets. Teenagers understand this. Your mamas and daddies knew about this too when they were growing up. All right? Deception is something that people will do to try to mislead, to try to make a person think one thing when they know the truth is something entirely different. That is a satanic practice. It is something that Satan used on Eve to deceive her, to fool her, to trick her. And this is something we are cautioned, do not be deceived. In Matthew 24, verses 4 through 6, Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. This, of course, is a reference to the coming days of the destruction of Jerusalem, is what this context is. But the point of it is, Jesus says there will be many who will try to deceive many. Deception is a common practice. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. Now, over and over and over again throughout this country, we are seeing more and more churches move away from any kind of condemnation of moral or immoral sin. They're moving away from any kind of condemnation of anything dealing with morality. They are saying, basically, it's your life, it's your choice, you do what you will accept you, that's just between you and God, there is no need to talk about it. Folks, we need to understand people are being deceived, and members of the church are being deceived, and unfortunately, many members of the church are practicing deception in failing to recognize sin is sin. And we do not need to be deceived about this. None of these folks named in this will inherit the kingdom of God. But he goes on to say, and such were some of you, but you are washed, you're sanctified, you're cleansed, you've been made whole. You've been washed by the blood of Jesus. Don't go back to that way of life. And warn those that are practicing these things to turn from them. I know it's not politically correct. I know it's not popular. I know it's not the thing that people want us to do, but we need to realize sin is still sin, whether we like it or not. And churches are going to be dealt with by the government if they condemn homosexuality. They're going to be dealt with by the government if they make any kind of a statement about personal responsibility that can be deemed as a political statement. They're going to be penalized. They're going to lose their tax-exempt status, and they're going to look for other ways. There may be ministers that will go to jail at some point in this country for standing up and preaching the truth. That could happen. It may very well happen, even in our lifetime. We don't need to assume that everything is going to rock on just like it always has. Do not be deceived. And yet so many people are being deceived. 1 Corinthians 15, 33. Young people, you better pay attention to this one. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. The people you hang around with are the people you're going to be like. You may not agree, but you are wrong. You are wrong. Young people, are you the only ones that are wrong? No, sir. Older folks, you're wrong too if you think you can run around with buzzards and not start eating dead things. Okay, off the side of the road. Ooh, gross, right? You can't run, you can't fly with the eagles while eating the dead stuff with the buzzards, all right? It just doesn't work like that. I'm going to get gross, Henry. I'm going to get gross. Don't get in a puking contest with a buzzard. All right, that's gross. That's terrible. I can't believe I said that. The point of it is, if we are hanging around with bad people, we are going to be like them. It's not a matter of you could be. If you hang around, if you run around with bad people, with wicked, evil people who do not regard God, who have no interest in doing what's right, and you choose these people to be your close friends, you are going to do what they do. This is why we're given this admonition. Do not be deceived. Evil companions, evil communication, evil company corrupts good habits, good morals. It will mess you up. I have used an illustration many times in youth rallies and youth meetings where I'll have a large person stand up on a chair, and I'll have a small person stand on the floor. And I ask the large person, the big strong boy, pick this person up. And they reach them and take their hands and they try, but they can't pull them up. It's tough. And if he's strong enough and she or the little one is small enough, maybe, but with great effort, you can pull them up to where you are. And then I'll simply say, all right, little one, grab this guy by the hand and pull him off of there. And it don't take anything to pull him off of that chair. That little kid grabs that big old strong boy and just yanks him right off of that chair. And if you don't believe that, you try it sometime. You get up in the chair and you see. Now, don't break your chair, boys. Don't break mama's chair. But it's so easy to get pulled down, and it's so hard to pull people up. Now, don't misunderstand. We have to be out in the world to win the world. We have to associate with the world to win the world to Christ. But if you are hanging with people, if these are your best and closest friends that are ungodly, uncaring, unchristian people, you are going to become like them, given enough time. Be not deceived. Ephesians 5, 6, and 7. Do not let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. People will deceive us with empty words. Oh, there's nothing wrong with this. You can do this. God's not going to care. One time's not going to hurt. And they will deceive us with empty words. But it's because of these things that the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Now, that's deceiving, being deceived from the outside. But now, don't be deceived by yourself. Don't kid yourself, is the saying we've used many times. Don't kid yourself. Don't be deceived yourself. Galatians 6, 1 through 5, which is the passage preceding our text this morning. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. What is he saying? What is it that Paul is saying here? We have people around us that get caught up in sin. And if we can help them to repent, if we can help them to do right, we are doing a very good thing. But we have to be careful how we do it. We have to be wise in realizing that I could be tempted with this same thing myself. Okay? A friend of mine, he's caught up in that world. And he went over to Jimmy's and is hanging out at Jimmy's and living a life that's not good. I'm going to go get him. I'm going to go get him. Get him out of there. Uh-huh. I don't think so. I don't think that's a good idea. Do you? You wait for him in the parking lot maybe, but even that's risky. Because he might have this church gossip come driving by and see you in the parking lot, and there you are. No, if we're going to help someone, we need to make sure that we do it in a spirit of gentleness and consider lest we also be tempted. We could fall into the same temptation. And so we bear one another's burdens. But we need to recognize that we do not think of ourselves as something when we're nothing. We don't need to see ourselves as so strong that nothing will affect us. That, well, I would never do that. Why, I would never talk bad about another person. Why, I would never tell a lie. Why, I would never deny the Lord. Why, I would... No, don't think of yourself as something when maybe you're not nearly as strong as you think you are. Don't deceive yourself. Every one of us, in some places, may be strong, but in other places, we are weak. Every one of us. We've all got weaknesses. We've all got things that trouble us. And so we need to recognize that we need God's help at all times and in all things. Let's not deceive ourselves. And then James 1, 19 through 22. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. What do you do as a Christian? What do you mean? Well, you are a Christian. Just what does a Christian do? Well, let's see. I come to church, I assemble with the saints, I attend church services and all that stuff. Yeah. What does a Christian do when they're not in the church building? How does a Christian live when they're not with the church on Sunday? Is a Christian somebody who looks so different that when you see them on the street, you can tell that they're a Christian, or do they just sort of dress like everybody else? Well, yeah. You can't tell a Christian just by looking at him. But there is something about a Christian. A smile, a twinkle in the eye. There is a lightness in the step. There is something of a confidence in God that you can sense when you're around them for a little while. But you can't just tell just seeing somebody walking across the street. You can't tell that. So it's not the way we look. It's something about the way we act. It's something about our attitude. It's something about our behavior. The way we conduct ourselves. What does a Christian do? Be not deceived. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. What does a Christian do? Well, that's not the purpose of my lesson this morning. I could get into all of that, but that's not my purpose. I'm just wanting you to think about this. Just what does a Christian do? If we're to be doers of the word, just what is it that we do? James 1, 26 and 27 says, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this person's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. We live a pure, upright, godly life. We conduct ourselves with the proper attitude and the proper conduct, for lack of a better word. The way we talk is going to show it. Well, Peter was standing with the crowd, with Satan's crowd, there around the fire, around Satan's fire, while Jesus was being tried by Satan's followers. Peter was there among Satan's people. And he was talking different. And one of them said, you have to be one of his followers. Your speech betrays you. So Peter started cussing. He started talking like they talked, so he would blend in. That's what happens when you're with Satan's crowd. That's what happens when you hang around with bad company. No, we need to be careful about deceiving ourselves. If we do not bridle our tongue, then we deceive our own heart. Our religion is useless. It's vain. It's empty. It's dead. If we don't control what we say. So one of the things a Christian does is he talks right. He talks right. He talks about things that are important. He talks about things that are not important too. He can be serious and he can be silly, but he talks right. He doesn't participate in sins of the tongue, the lies, the slander, the gossip, the filth that's out there. He's not going to participate in that. What does a Christian do? In 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. I put that verse in there so we'd all realize that, okay, yeah, every one of us struggle with sin. Every one of us are going to have problems with some of the things that we have had to deal with. We're going to have difficulties getting past some of these things. Overcoming a temptation, overcoming a bad habit. We're all going to struggle with things like that. But brothers and sisters, don't deceive yourself. Don't deceive yourself when you think you stand lest you fall. Don't deceive yourself in thinking that you're strong and have overcome it all when in fact you haven't. Don't deceive yourself into thinking because you come to church and hear the word that you are doers of the word. Don't deceive yourself. Lives have to change. Hearts have to change. Attitudes have to change. We all have to work on becoming more and more like Jesus. What does a Christian do? One thing a Christian better not do is deceive himself. Don't be deceived. The letter to the church at Laodicea is a good example of this. Revelation 3:17. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. What is Jesus saying to the church at Laodicea? They think they've got their ducks in a row. They think they understand this Christianity thing. They think that they are faithful to God and that they are spiritually mature, strong, able to withstand Satan's attacks and resist any and all temptation. And Jesus says, in reality, you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. They have deceived themselves. Now, there are lots of deceivers out there, lots of them. Romans 16, 17, 18, now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by smooth words and flattering speech, deceive the hearts of the simple. In Sunday school class this morning, we were going to look at a passage, we didn't get to it, about the unrighteous deception among those who perish. From 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 10 through 12, it says, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved, and for this reason God will send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. God allowed them, no. He made them, no. They chose to be deceived, so God sent them a strong delusion. God sent them a deception. Not an actual deception, but a wrong idea. He let them believe this. They already were wrong. They already were believing a lie. They already were not right with God, so God gave them a sense of comfort in their wrong. They think they're right. They think they're okay because they have believed the lie. What lie? Well, in the context, the lie given by the man of sin, the man of lawlessness that was revealed back in 2 Thessalonians. This man of sin was giving people a lie, and they were believing it. And so God will send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Do not be deceived. There are many deceivers out there who will try to fool us into following them, into thinking like they think. They will try to get us to be less spiritual, who will try to get us not to study our Bible so much, not to spend so much time in prayer. You don't have to be at church all the time. There's nothing wrong with social drinking. You can smoke your marijuana. You can watch your pornography. You can go anywhere you want to go, do anything you want to do. As long as you do it in moderation, everything will be fine. And they will deceive the hearts of the simple and cause people to believe a lie. And if they persist in this, if they persist in this and will not repent, God will send them a strong delusion. And they will take comfort in their lie. And they will be satisfied. They will have a false sense of security and believe that everything's fine and they're going to heaven when they die. Be not deceived. So what do we do about this? Well, the concept of self-examination has become a very important part of cancer screening, cancer prevention. Examine yourself wherever you can, wherever it's possible. Examine yourself. Make sure if you don't, on your skin, if you see any growths, any unusual discoloration or something, you need to get that checked out. Self-examination. It's a very important part of the screening process, and it saved a lot of lives. Well, brethren, it's an old concept. It's been around a long time. The concept of self-examination, Lamentations 3, verse 40 and 41, let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. Let us lift our hearts and hands to God in heaven. Regarding the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11:28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Examine yourself. Self-examination. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Compare your life to what God says. And finally, Matthew 16, verse 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. It's all part of that self-examination. You got to see where you are so you'll know which way to go. Fellow that doesn't know where he is, doesn't know where to go. Doesn't know which way to turn. One of the things about a person that's near drowning, they get disoriented. Oxygen deprivation in the brain, it's hard to know which way to go. And there have been cases of individuals who, and they, because of witnesses, what witnesses have seen, the people have died. Because they were swimming, trying to avoid drowning, got confused, and swam down instead of up. And they drowned. Isn't that something? Examine yourself. You gotta make sure you're going the right way. You gotta know where you are to know which way to go. So self-examination is essential if you want to be a faithful Christian. So what we need to do is grow up in Christ. Go ahead and become a grown-up. Grow up in Christ. Get on with the process of maturing as a child of God. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, and he himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Children are easily fooled. You can take a bad magician, and I would qualify, okay? I would qualify. You could take a bad magician, and if a child is young enough, you can fool them. Pull the quarter out of their ear. Or, you know, make a flower appear from seemingly nowhere. And you can fool a little child. But the older they get, yeah, they get up about Josh's age, you ain't going to fool them anymore. They're going to see through your tricks. They're going to know exactly what you're doing. It's easier to fool a child. But this is why Paul is saying in Ephesians that we be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. They have an agenda, and their agenda is to get you to be like them. That's what people want. We want to surround ourselves with folks that are like us. And so what my job is to make you like me. And I don't mean to make you like me. I mean to make you like me. Now that's a little confusing. I need people to be like me so that I can be at ease. And so it is, I will deceive you, I will fool you, I will trick you because I have an agenda, and my agenda is to make you become like me. That's what these people do, see? And we need to understand that God wants us to speak the truth in love and grow up in all things unto Christ, who is the head of the body. So that's what we need to do. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 13, it says, "But evil men and imposters grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them." You know where you got your teaching. You didn't get it from Charles Thompson. You didn't get it from Robert Hall. You didn't get it from Henry or Hugo or Melvis, Harold or Danny. You didn't get it from anybody here. You know where you got your teaching. You got your teaching from God. You got your education from God's Word. That's the commitment you made. You didn't make a commitment to me. You didn't make a commitment to the elders. You didn't make a commitment to even to the person you're sitting beside on the aisle or on your pew. Your commitment you made to God. You're God's man. You're God's woman. You don't belong to anybody but God. You're married. Great. That's your mate. Yes. You have parents. Wonderful. They're yours. Great. You belong to God. He comes first. So my encouragement this morning, my plea to you this morning is, do not be deceived by the evil people that are out there that would fool us, or even by evil people that might sneak in among us and try to fool us. Do not be deceived. Grow up in Christ. Be a child of God. Be faithful to God. And the way to do that is examine yourself and make sure you're in the faith. If there's a way we can help you this morning, we want to encourage you to be right with God. If you're not a Christian, obey the gospel today. If you're already a child of God but you've not been faithful, please rededicate your life to God. Whatever your need this morning, if we can assist you, then come now as we stand and sing.